Well, I hope you are like me and that you just absolutely love your family. We all know that things are never perfect in a family, but with all things considered, I just absolutely love my family. But as good as they are, there is one family that is better than any earthly family, and that is our heavenly family. Let us go to 1 John 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. As we have discussed in 1 John before, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, something special happens. We become something greater. We become a child of God, and therefore we become the family of God. God is now our Father, and because of our love for His Son, and as much as I love my family, being a child of the Creator of the universe, I think is pretty spectacular. God is our Father. And this church is our family. And John continues in verse 2. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. And here in 1 John, he reminds us of some things that Jesus taught. From John 13, verse 34, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." That's some pretty good love, isn't it? To love each other the way Jesus loved? Can you be any more loved than the love of Jesus Christ? Then later in John 14, he says, "If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." And then in Matthew chapter 11, this is what he says about himself. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, what Jesus was talking about here, he refers to in Matthew 23:4. He says, "They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." You see, for the Israelites, the teachers of the law had made the system of law even more detailed than what was in the scripture. And the law had become a burden and not what God intended it to be. You see, God's law, if you go back to the Old Testament, taught people how to live in such a way that A, they could experience God's love, and how we can stay in grace and love with each other, right? Think about the Ten Commandments, right? The first ones are about our relationship with God. The rest of them about our relationship with other people. But you see, now because of the grace and the love of God, because of Christ's sacrifice, we can experience God's love in a new and special way. We, who were not born of Israel, we get to be loved by God as His children. We get to love God as our Father, and we get to love each other as brothers and sisters. To me, this is a great and wonderful thing. And when you have God's love, doing what we're supposed to do for God becomes easier, because we do it for love and not for obligation. Isn't it a lot easier to do something for somebody that you love and doing out of love and then doing something out of obligation, right? Like your grandmother's sick and you go mow her lawn, you do it because you love her. But the person next door to you, what do you want to do? Call the city, that guy ain't mowing his lawn, right? When you have God's love, when God's love is in your heart, doing what we are supposed to do for God becomes easier because we do it for love. And back to 1 John 5, verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We live in a fallen world, but as children of God, we no longer belong to this world. If we had passports, they would be changed. We would no longer have passports of the world. We would have passports that said we are citizens of another world. We are citizens of heaven. And those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they are the ones who have victory. Our salvation, our victory, is only for those who believe in their hearts that Jesus is the Son of God. And John goes on to tell us some important things about Jesus. Verse 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. Now on the surface, it may seem a little confusing, this stuff about the Spirit, the water, in the blood. But what we have here is a multiple meaning in one thing. First, it is a reference to the Trinity. But let us remember that Jesus was conceived by who? The Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary, which means he was in the womb, the water. And from the blood of Mary, a human. So we have the Spirit, the blood, and the water. And when we think of the life and death of Jesus Christ, he was baptized by the water, right? He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and his blood was shed on the cross. And even when we look at the cross, when Jesus was pierced by the soldier, what flowed out? Blood and water flowed from his side. And finally, let us consider the sacraments of our church. We have the baptism of water. We have communion, which represents the blood. And both of these sacraments are the work of who? The Holy Spirit. The three of them together in unity. And what John is doing for us here is reminding us that Jesus Christ was both fully divine and fully human. Jesus was not just a man inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus wasn't just a spirit who came down and looked like a man. In a very complex and a very mysterious way, Jesus was God and human at the same time. And because of this, and only because of this, this is the only way that Jesus was able to become the atoning sacrifice for our sins, by being both human and divine. Now I know for some of you people that's going, woo, way over here. But as you mature in Christ, these are foundational truths you have to know. Because anybody who preaches anything other than Jesus Christ, fully divine, fully human, is not preaching the gospel. And verse 9 says, we accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testament of God, which he has given about his Son. And verse 10 says, whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. Now think about that. Anyone who rejects Christ as the way, the truth, and the life makes God out to be a liar. Anyone who does not believe the fact that no one comes to the Father except through Christ makes God out to be a liar. Anyone who does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the Holy Son of God, the Word of God, the eternal light of God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, makes God out to be a liar. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to call God a liar. And in verse 11, he says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And if you don't believe that verse, you make God out to be a liar. And why is this important? We get to verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. When we look around at the world around us, it is literally quite frightening. We see a world in chaos with war and violence everywhere. We live in a country where we have division and division and people creating more division. We have hundreds of murders every year within just 20 miles of us. Hamilton County, Butler County, whatever it is in Dearborn County, Northern Kentucky, just in 20 miles. Think about the hundreds of murders that are committed every year. We live in a country where we are building casinos and closing churches. And you know, a standard response when we start talking about this, people say, well, what do you think? They took prayer and Bibles out of schools. Well, my friends, that is a symptom and not the cause. Do you know what causes this? Not taking things out of school. The problem is we have taken the truth out of our churches and out of our lives. We have taken the truth of salvation out of churches. We have taken the truth of hell out of our churches. We have let go of the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the truth. See, churches went soft. Many churches are more concerned about keeping people in the pews than they are about saving souls. We let them take Bible and prayer out of schools because we took it out of church. Do you know how many churches don't read the Word of God in their service? Do you know how many people I've come to says, do you remember the days when we used to do joys and concerns in the church and we shared our prayers together? Well, one thing you can count on me from as your pastor, as long as I am your pastor, we will never take prayer out of this church and we will never take the Word of God out of this church. And I want you to chew on this. That means listen. That means stop daydreaming. Pull your ADHD in together. Right, Danny? If God's word is in the heart of your children, no one can take that out of the school. If the word of God is in your heart, no one can take it out of your job. No one can take the word of God out of your house. Because you and I are supposed to be living examples of God's Word. living example of God's love, living examples of God's salvation, and the only way God's word can be taken out of our society is if we stop living it. If we stop proclaiming it, or we became ashamed and we start hiding it. We can say they took it out of the schools, but the problem is we didn't put it in our children. When our children go to school, when our grandchildren go to school, they should be walking, living, talking God's word. And from the death of Christ in about 33 AD until about 313 AD, Christianity was illegal. That means for almost 200 years, Christians were persecuted. Many were martyred. They lost property, lost businesses. They were scattered to the deserts. Some of them by force were made to go into pagan temples and make sacrifices. Yet in the midst of all this persecution, the church grew. Christianity spread to all the known world, from Europe to Africa to India and other parts of Asia. They didn't have Ten Commandments posted in the school, did they? They didn't have dedicated prayer in school, did they? But what happened? People lived it in the face of persecution, and the church grew. Because these people wholeheartedly believed in the truth. And because they fully believed, they were filled with the Spirit. And because their faith was real and the Holy Spirit was at work, the church grew. We need to believe the truth. We need to live the truth, teach the truth, preach the truth. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to live by the Spirit and be obedient to God's truth. It doesn't matter what the world says, because we have the truth and we have blessed assurance of our salvation. But this verse also tells us, if we do not have Jesus, then we do not have life. That's eternal life. Life in Jesus Christ. Because, friends, Jesus is real. Salvation is real. Heaven is real. And so is the alternative. Because if you don't believe there's a hell, then why do we need a Savior? There's nothing to be saved from if there is no hell. Does that make any sense to anybody? Well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in hell. Okay. Well, what about Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Wasn't he the Savior? Yeah. Well, then what did he save us from if there's no hell? Folks, if you don't have Jesus, then you don't have eternal life. If you have not given your life to Jesus, today could be the day you surrender your life to God. Today could be the day you say, God, I am no longer living for me. I'm living for you. And it starts with a simple confession. Jesus, I have sinned. Jesus, I repent of my sins. Jesus, I want to live for you. Please come into my heart. And when you let Jesus come into your heart, you can have blessed assurance too that you will share an eternal life. It doesn't mean your life is just magically perfect. It doesn't mean the chaos around you is going to disappear. But what I can tell you, if you allow it and you be filled with the Holy Spirit, He will change how you see the world and change how you live in the world. And God will give you assurance and strength and comfort and peace like you've never experienced before. And I am sick and tired of Christians hiding the truth of God, denying the truth of God, and pretending that it's somebody's job in some some state house or some legislator it is to bring God to the schools. It's not their job, it's your job. It's my job, it's our job. We can no longer sit around and wait for people to pass laws that fit our morals. We need to live out our morals and lead other people to Jesus Christ so they live out their morals, and then we don't need any new laws. Let's say there's a house of ill repute down the street. Well, guess what? If we bring the men to Jesus Christ, are they going to go to those places? If we bring the girls to Jesus Christ, are they going to serve and work in those places? The world needs Jesus Christ, not new laws, not new this, not complaining, not pointing fingers. He needs people who are dedicated and saved and living out their faith in Jesus Christ. We have begun to turn a corner in this church. We've started to acknowledge that there is a foundation of faith and a path that we need to follow. But we can change the name of the church. We can put out new signs and join any other thing or not join any other thing. But it doesn't change the fact that that is window dressing. If we are not people willing to accept Jesus Christ, to be transformed by Jesus Christ, and to go out and live for Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we come to you today first to honor you, to praise you, to celebrate who you are. But Lord, we've also come to receive your word. We have come to hear your truth proclaimed. And Lord, sometimes the truth is hard to hear. Sometimes it takes us out of our comfort zone. But Lord, you did not call us to live in our zone. You've called us to live in your zone. Lord, may your Holy Spirit enrich, edify, and if necessary, correct and rebuke. Lord, may the power of your Holy Spirit rest on the people here today. May those who do not know salvation in Jesus Christ feel that yearning in their heart, to feel that urge to confess their sins and to live for you. Lord, we can no longer sit idle and hope that somebody else changes the world, because you have called us to change the world. Let us be your faithful servants. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
I hope that this is
your story. That your story is a story of redemption. That your story is a story of forgiveness. A story of where God took you from nothing and made you into something. Because once you were not a child of God, and now you are a child of God. And folks, that is something we should live and praise and live and joy. Just as the song says, singing his praises all the day long. We've been here an hour. So what are you going to do for the next 23 hours? Praise him all the day long. And not just today, but tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after, until we can come back here again. Because let me tell you, it's powerful when we worship together. It's powerful when we sing together. It's powerful when we pray together. We were intended to be family, intended to be the people of God. Now let us go and live like the people of God. Let us take his word and his praise with us everywhere they go. Everywhere we go, I mean. Because they can't take that away from us. They can try to outlaw it. They can try to make it awful. They can try to despise it in the news. But guess what? They'll never take the love and the word of God out of my heart. And it'll be with me everywhere I go. Go now as God's children, celebrating his love for you. and ready to share his praises to all that you meet. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.